Welcome to Voice of the Public on 90.7 FM and KRWG.org. I'm Edmundo Resendez, your host. Join us as we follow the money, New Mexico campaign fundraising, taking a look at the influence of campaign donations in local state politics. According to an article in the Las Cruces Sun News, in contested races in the November 8th general election, the average amount of campaign contributions raised by state Senate candidates in Doña Ana County is $60,580. Join us as we follow the money in the upcoming New Mexico election. Where is the money coming from? Call us during the show at 575-646-2212 or follow us on social media to ask questions and make comments about the influence of campaign donations in local state politics. Follow the money, New Mexico campaign fundraising with Walt Rubel of the Las Cruces Sun News and Sandra Fish of New Mexico In Depth. More after the news. Welcome to Voice of the Public. I'm Edmundo Resendez on 90.7 FM and KRWG.org. Today, join us as we follow the money, New Mexico campaign fundraising, as we take a look at the influence of campaign donations in local state politics. Today, our guests are Walt Rubel of the Las Cruces Sun News. Walt, welcome to KRWG.
Thank you.
And Sandra Fish of New Mexico In Depth, who has been working ever so diligently following the money. Sandra, welcome to KRWG.
It's great to be here, Edmundo.
You know, let's kick off the conversation by encouraging people to call us at 575-646-2212, 575-646-2212, or join us on our social media desk to ask questions or make comments about the influence of campaign donations in local state politics. We have Simon Thompson standing by, ready to hear from you. Let's kick off the conversation, Walt, with discussing what you know about New Mexico campaign fundraising this year, and compare it to other years that you've looked at campaign fundraising, and maybe talk a little bit about how Citizens United has changed the way politics work, not just across the country, but specifically here in New Mexico. And maybe at the same time, you can give us a little bit of background on what Citizens United is.
Sure. Citizens United was a Supreme Court verdict or Supreme Court case brought by a company, Citizens United. I don't think they were a company, they were an organization. They had made a film that was very critical of Hillary Clinton, and it was censored. And that was sort of the springboard that led to this whole Supreme Court decision, which essentially said that you cannot put the restrictions on corporations, that they have the same free speech rights as people do.
I mean, it's when the Supreme Court said corporations are people.
That's where
in
that
terms
came
of free
from.
Speech.
That's correct.
Okay.
And so, effectively, what that has done in terms of our elections, in my opinion, is it has taken the money from the traditional candidates and the traditional parties, the Republican and the Democratic Party, and it has dispersed it into all of these PACs and super PACs that theoretically, well, not theoretically, legally, can't have coordination with the parties, but everybody knows that they do. I mean, that is the biggest.
And traditionally, what's happened in a lot of these super PACs is you have either a campaign manager or somebody that's very active with the campaign that a year prior will quit the campaign and move on to work for the super PAC.
That's right. And the result of what you get is no accountability. Now, we had an election 2 years ago, Terry McMillan against Joanne Ferrari, where at the very last minute, a lot of negative campaign mailers went out against Ferrari. We asked Terry McMillan about that when we talked to him this year during our editorial board, and basically what he said was, I didn't have anything to do with that. I had no control over that. And so it is frustrating, I think, for everybody involved, because there is no, and he says legally, I can't have anything to do with that, and he's right, but it is just very difficult to tell where this money is coming from and to hold people accountable for these sleazy ads when they clearly benefited Terry, but he's able to say, I had nothing to do with it.
Sandra, how are you looking at this year's campaign fundraising compared to other years?
You know, one of the things, I really am trying to follow this outside money that Walt is talking about. And, you know, one of the big entities in New Mexico is this super PAC called Advance New Mexico Now that's run by Governor Susana Martinez's top political advisor, Jay McCluskey. And that group had nearly $1.2 million in the bank when they filed a report earlier this month, and you see them out there actually tweeting out the flyers and mailers that they're sending out. They even got involved in a Republican primary in House District 32 in Deming earlier this year, sending out those last-minute mailers to defeat the Republican candidate that they didn't like. And we are trying to, at New Mexico In Depth, we're really trying to collect a lot of these messages that both candidates and these outside groups send out at our Follow the Message web app. It's ftm.nmindepth.com. And if you go there, we've got responses to our candidate questionnaire, but we also have a listing of messages that we've collected, flyers that you can read about, who's behind them, where their money came from, and what the message is, and get an idea of what's going on out there. We're also encouraging people to submit those flyers. But the outside candidates are raising a lot more money, but outside groups have this huge influence.
You're listening to Follow the Money, New Mexico Campaign Fundraising on 90.7 FM and KRWG.org. I'm Edmundo Resendez, your host on Voice of the Public, 575-646-2212, 575-646-2212. You can join us on social media on Facebook and Twitter. Simon Thompson is standing by, ready to take your comments or questions on social media. New Mexico In Depth identified competitive races where lawmakers in mostly safe seats are donating money to candidates they hope will win. We see evidence of this right here in southern New Mexico. State legislators in mostly safe seats and their political action committees have funneled more than $1.3 million to candidates in competitive races. Sandra, can you define what money laundering is, either one of you? And is this not a clear definition of what money laundering is? And why are lawmakers in safe seats raising money and giving it over to those candidates in competitive races?
Maybe shell game is a more polite term.
Shell game, okay. We'll go with shell game.
But, you know, one of the things that happens here is people in leadership are really working to get their party to hold the House. And it's both Democrats and Republicans are trying to get control of both the House and Senate this year. You know, 2 years ago, Republicans took the House for the first time in 60 years, in large thanks to races like McMillan versus Ferrari, where, you know, you have that last-minute flurry of ads. Or, you know, Representative John Zimmerman beat then-Representative Rodolfo Martinez, a Democrat, and those two seats were key in Republicans taking the House. But, you know, so you have people like Don Tripp, who's raised a lot of money both in his speaker's pack and personally for his own campaign. And then he takes that money and passes it along to other candidates, both from his PAC and from his personal campaign. And it allows, say, a company, Devon Energy, this oil and gas company based in Oklahoma, is probably one of the biggest single donors to a variety of candidates and PACs. They've given more than, $100,000 to Advance New Mexico Now. They've given the max to Don Tripp and his speaker's pack and a lot of other candidates. And it allows them to spread their money around. And you have to ask, you'll never know, really, but did their money get to candidates in donations larger than are allowed by state law?
Yeah. The other practical implication of this is once you get to Santa Fe and you're whoever are the best at raising money and spreading around, well, they get the plum committee assignments. They get the chairmanships. And so it really does impact even the governing process once the election is over.
Let's look at some numbers right now. You're listening to Follow the Money on KRWG as we look at New Mexico campaign fundraising with Walt Rubel of the Las Cruces Sun News and Sandra Fish of New Mexico In Depth. If we look at House District 37 here in the Las Cruces area, you've got Republican Terry McMillan, who has already received $40,000 to fight a challenge from Democrat Joanne Ferrari, who has received nearly $24,000 from Democratic legislatures and their PACs. Also in this area, House District 39, Las Cruces and Silver City, It's the third matchup between incumbent GOP John Zimmerman and former Democratic Representative Rodolfo Martinez. Martinez won in 2012, but Zimmerman took the seat in 2014. Zimmerman's colleagues have donated about $36,000 to his campaign, while Martinez has received about $28,000 from fellow Democrats. Sandra, where is their money coming from? Which candidates are contributing to their campaigns? And, I mean, are we looking to have them get some cushier positions?
You know, you see this in a variety of ways. It's not just candidates. It's candidates and their PACs. And this year, you are seeing a lot more candidates operating PACs than you have in the past. It isn't just the leadership. It's the, you know, rank-and-file members. There are things like up in the northwestern part of the state, there's let me find it here. There's the energy, the affordable energy PAC that's operated by three lawmakers in really the Farmington area, but they're spreading the money around to candidates beyond that area. Democrats do this too. They've got things like the homegrown PAC operated by Senator Howie Morales, who's relatively safe and is giving money to other candidates. So there's both the candidates and these PACs, and the candidates are either in leadership or they're just candidates who are in relatively safe seats who are spreading this money around. Senator Tim Worth, Peter Worth, sorry, is he's got this True Blue PAC that he's operating out of Santa Fe, and he doesn't have any opposition, but he's really helping a lot of candidates with money from his campaign account and from the True Blue PAC. So, and we identified about 30-some of these PACs that are operated by individual lawmakers, and they can, the lawmaker can take a maximum contribution from a union or an oil company, and then their PAC can get the maximum contribution from a union or an oil company, and then they can spread that money around.
575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. If you would like to join in on the conversation with Sandra Fish of New Mexico In Depth, also with Walt Rubel of the Las Cruces Sun News, as we follow the money, New Mexico campaign fundraising, as we come up pretty close to the general election. Walt, how is Susana Martinez's Super PAC, Susana PAC, working? Are there going to be any influence this year?
Well, you know, that's an interesting thing historically. I mean, from the very beginning, her philosophy has been to try to use that PAC to target certain people. 4 years ago, she targeted Michael Sanchez, the floor leader of the Senate. And it really caused, there was going to be strain and a rift there anyway. But that really put an extra strain, I think, on that relationship. And it's been horrible for the last 4 years. But I think she has sort of used that both as a weapon and as a, you know, obviously, to gain supporters to her side. But as I've watched it, it seems to me that it has just increased the animosity between her and the legislature, because so much of what she has done has targeted certain people, and when that doesn't work, when they win anyway, then she's got a problem.
575-646-2212. 575-646-2212 if you want to join in on the conversation today as we follow the money, New Mexico campaign fundraising, with Walt Rubel of the Las Cruces Sun News and Sandra Fish of New Mexico In Depth. You can also join us on social media, Facebook and Twitter, where we have Simon Thompson standing by, ready to take your questions or comments. Why don't we go to Simon Thompson right now and see what's brewing on social media. Simon.
So we have Lucas in Las Cruces who tweeted, "What are your thoughts on big money in small races, like last year's soil and water election, i.e. Republican Steve Pierce's PAC sent flyers, hired canvassers in that race?"
Yeah, a soil and water conservation race typically draws such a small percentage of the voters. You know, most people, you would ask them, they didn't even know an election was taking place. And so, yes, if you can get out the vote, if you can put out a get out the vote effort in an election like that, clearly you can swing it.
You know, I think this is, too, a combination of people having a personal interest in a particular candidate or race, and sometimes it's maybe even a vendetta, or of trying to, like, promote candidates that they want to see come up through the system. And so, you know, they're trying to get somebody more favorable. But as often as not, you know, Goal Westpac, which is Representative Pierce's brother, is the treasurer, got involved in the Las Cruces City Council and mayoral elections last year.
And that was surprising to a lot of people because, as I've said before to anybody that would listen to me, you know, it used to be that when you had local races, they tended to be pretty much on the friendly side.
Yeah, that was surprising to me as well. I can understand why oil and gas interests would be interested in Senate and House races from this area because they'll be passing laws for the whole state. I don't understand why people in Hobbs and Carlsbad in Texas care about who's elected to District 2 of the Las Cruces City Council. That makes no sense to me.
And, I mean, have we heard anything about how that came to be?
We did. In fact, we did with the NMSU Library. We did a whole show on this a few months ago. And basically, what their explanation was it is just spreading the philosophy that you can't get low enough to build the grassroots philosophy of pro-business. You know, that's what they were. But the reason I suggested that we do that program was because of the attack on Ken Miyagashima, and because specifically of the impact that had on Miguel Silva. Miguel Silva was the opponent of Ken Miyagashima. At the last minute, these mailers come out dragging up old allegations from 15 years ago. I saw Miguel on the morning of the election, and the last words I heard from his mouth, as we know, he has since passed. The last words I heard from his mouth was, you know, I don't know how this is going to come out, but I feel proud that I ran a clean race. I ran an issues-based race. And he had that taken away from him. This PAC came in, and they did that to Ken. There's no question they smeared Ken, but they smeared Miguel, too.
And Sandra, I mean, how does that work? I mean, we look at how Citizens United is worked up, where a candidate has no influence and no say on what a super PAC can and can't do. All they can do is, I mean, can they even disavow it? I mean, are there
any
cases?
They can try, but, you know, this is the thing. You know, in this House District 32 race where Vicky Chavez was facing Matt Chandler, this ranch owner, in the Deming primary, in a House race, and early voting ended, and then suddenly all these flyers came out attacking Chandler from Advanced New Mexico Now, and people there thought that came from Chavez. They're not reading the fine print, and it didn't. And I think that there are Republicans. I think she is not that happy with what they did. She didn't know it was coming because there's not supposed to be coordination. Would she have? She wasn't sending out mailers that said such things about Chandler, and it's just a difficult, you know, for candidates and for the mayor in Las Cruces. I think it's difficult for him, you know, too. It's like, how is he supposed to react at the last minute? It's, you know, it's possible that. Some people I've talked to there say that Steve Pierce is trying to hold on to that district for future Republicans in Congress. He may see the mayor as a potential challenger in the future. Clearly, in that congressional district, Las Cruces is a sizable constituency, and it's not necessarily an entirely Republican constituency. And so that's why people get involved in these smaller races. But their involvement is not always welcome. But there's nothing that candidates can do about it. I mean, that's one of the things about Citizens United that's most dramatic, is people can spend as much money as they want, and they're not coordinated with candidates or with the political parties. But the real people out there, they don't know that. And that's, you know, that's one of the reasons we're trying to collect some of these election materials, is to explain who is behind those messages that are getting out there so people have more clarity about it.
575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. 646-2212 if you want to join us in on the conversation on Following the Money, New Mexico Campaign Fundraising, with Walt Rubel of the Las Cruces Sun News and Sandra Fish of New Mexico in Depth. You can also join us on our social media sites, Facebook and Twitter, where Simon Thompson is standing by. Walt, you had something you wanted to add.
Yeah, I just wanted the very fact, Sandra, that you brought Steve Pierce into the conversation is a perfect example of how murky this stuff is. I mean, he and his people have emphatically denied that he had anything to do with that. His brother is the treasurer of the Gold West PAC. Everybody on the Democratic Party absolutely believes that he was responsible for it, or, you know, at least involved in it. He denies it, and you can believe what you want to believe, but there is no way to prove it either way.
And that's pretty much what's happening now, where you have... How many super PACs did you say are registered, Sandra?
You know, super PACs, there are, it looks like three main ones, but there are several potential super PACs out there that could take money at any point. And I think one of the things that you're going to see happen here is that you're going to see people contribute at the last minute. You know, I think that I've seen this in other states where people know what their last minute strategy is going to be between in the last week before the election, and they know what the strategy is going to be. They have it organized, and after the last reporting date, somebody comes in and gives you $1 million and you execute it. Now, we haven't seen that sort of money in New Mexico. People are giving $100,000, $150,000, maybe $200,000, but who knows what's going to happen?
646-2212-575, 646-2212. You're listening to Voice of the Public as we follow the money, New Mexico campaign fundraising, with Walt Rubel of the Las Cruces Sun News and Sandra Fish of New Mexico in Depth. My name is Edmundo Resendez, your host for Voice of the Public. Let's go to Arturo, who is standing by the line ready to talk to us about super PACs. Arturo, welcome to Voice of the Public.
Hello. I was calling in regards to... the article that was run in the Sun News in Santa Fe, New Mexico, about Helena Chemical Company receiving money and then having their permit rescinded, and how much money was given from Helena to Susana Martinez and their PACs, and how should we feel in communities like ours that are being impacted, you know, by these industries, and now that they no longer need an air quality permit. And I think maybe Walt could probably address that issue.
Arturo, what community are you calling from?
Mesquite.
Okay, thank you, Arturo.
Thank you.
Well, there's absolutely no question that the regulation of Helena Chemical has changed drastically with the change from Bill Richardson to Susana Martinez. Bill Richardson and Ron Curry, his environment secretary, were repeatedly fining, cracking down on Helena Chemical for violations. There has been a sea change since the election of Governor Susana Martinez. Now, part of that is because she is just anti-regulation, pro-business, anti-regulation. That's the impossible thing. You can never say, okay, this contribution produced this result. At least in my mind, you can't, because she probably would have had that result anyway. But there is no question that Helena Chemical has contributed generously to her campaign, and that she has significantly loosened the regulations on Helena Chemical.
575-646-2212, 575-646-2212, if you want to join in on the conversation today with Walt Rubel of the Las Cruces Sun News and Sandra Fish of New Mexico in Depth. We now go to Michael, who is standing by, who's got a question on super PACs. Michael, welcome to Voice of the Public.
Yeah, hi. What I'm concerned about is that enough of these voters don't really get out with signs and protest any of this like we used to back in the 60s. No one is really standing up to these people who want to control us like they do and have these votes gone through the House without asking us, the voter, what we want.
Thank you, Michael.
Now, are these super PACs? these representatives just stand right behind them and do what they want. They buy them. And that's what I oppose.
Thank you, Michael.
I prefer to get out there and rebel like we did in the 60s, and maybe some of that would come back down, and maybe we can get rid of some of those people in the Supreme Court.
Okay, well, Sandra, I mean, are there any national campaigns or any campaigns that you may be familiar with that I know it's been brought up, you know, in the House and the Senate where they've looked to overturn Citizens United? But is there any grassroots effort going on in this country for that?
You know, there certainly are some, mostly from the left, and there are places, states that have placed a ballot on the initiative urging their congresspeople to overturn Citizens United. I believe it would take a constitutional amendment or a new Supreme Court test case. I mean, you look at that Supreme Court decision, and one of the things that's happened is that the Supreme Court talked about disclosure. Well, now you have people spending unlimited money and skirting the laws on disclosure by not mentioning a specific race or candidate. And one example of that right now in New Mexico is some TV ads that Progress Now New Mexico and Conservation Voters New Mexico are running. And when I wrote a story about this in August, when the ads first started from Progress Now, they said that they're just trying to make voters aware of the linkage between campaign money and policy outcomes. And I'd say some of these ads aren't entirely accurate. Like the first one mentioned a $25 billion cleanup of a mining potential sinkhole, and the state is not going to pay for that. That was never suggested that the state pay $25 billion, but the ad seems to indicate that. And these ads are really an attack on Governor Susana Martinez, and I'd argue, by extension, the Republican Party and Republican lawmakers. But they don't have to disclose who their funding comes from. We don't know if some billionaire out there has given them money to pay for these ads, and we'll never know, and they're not going to tell us.
You know, as we look at some of the local races, we are seeing some Senate candidates right here in Doña Ana County that have already raised six figures for their campaigns. Should this be surprising?
Well, it is to me. It should not take that much money to run for the New Mexico Senate, not from Las Cruces. Where are they spending that money?
Well, that's, you know, I do want to get to that towards as we progress with the show, because, you know, I've worked in media sales before, and I know how much it costs to run advertising. That's a lot of money.
I was going to say, you can buy a lot of yard signs for that.
That's a lot of yard signs.
Here's the deal, Walt and Edmundo. We are in the wrong business.
Yeah,
if we wanted to make money, we would be campaign consultants. And that's one of the things that I see happening here, is that people are paying these consulting firms monthly fees of maybe $3,000 per candidate. That really adds up if you're managing several candidates' campaigns and for strategy. And some of that cost, people are paying actual people to go out and walk for them. You know, one of the things when I was looking at the filings on September 12th, and I was really surprised that Representative Andy Nunes had not filed he filed a report of no activity. And I really question that.
Is that possible?
Because I went back and looked at it yesterday. He's in House District 36 facing Democrat Nate Small, and Representative Nunes then the next day filed a report that had activity in it,
yeah,
where he'd received contributions. And filing a thing of no activity, it looks to me like he just wasn't going to make the deadline, and so he filed this one thing that was easy and then comes back and amends the report, and there's no penalty for that. But one of the costs that he cites is paying people to walk the district for him. I mean, you know, people are paying for mailers. People may be doing radio ads in certain parts of the state. I think you'll see TV ads, but they'll be paid for by outside people like Goal Westpac or a couple of the Democratic super PACs, because those people did advertise on TV 2 years ago, but it wasn't candidates, it was super PACs.
Now,
but
one of the things we saw, Sandra, in the last election here in the Las Cruces area, where we have a market with the El Paso stations, we saw some local Senate races being advertised on the El Paso stations. And that is not cheap.
Yep, that's true.
All right, let's go to Dave, who is standing by, who wants to talk to us here on Voice of the Public, 575-646-2212, 575-646-2212. You can also join us on social media, where Simon Thompson is standing by. Dave, welcome to Voice of the Public.
Hi, thanks for letting me get on here. I'm kind of looking at how other major democracies have chosen to handle campaign advertising. And most of Western Europe, and I've used the example of France because I know a little bit more about it. It's based on we the people own the airwaves and the broadband. And we already have that through the FCC. When a corporation leases a portion of that, they also are agreed to do public service. In France, they take it to the point where every candidate who qualifies for the ballot gets an equal amount of free airtime. And you cannot buy airtime. And I think that's an interesting approach, and I'm hoping maybe we could start thinking about that in this country.
Thank you very much, Dave, for joining us here on Voice of the Public. If you would like to join us as well, 575-646-2212, 575-646-2212. What do you think, Walt? Do you think local media corporations would want to give up that kind of revenue?
Well, I'm sure we wouldn't, but the other thing I would just say about that is that, you know, we are a free enterprise system. I mean, everything we do in this country is based on market principles, and elections are no different, for better or for worse.
I'd add that I think you'd run into the same issues that Citizens United is based on to an extent of First Amendment free speech. And that sort of thing, while it sounds like a great idea, would be considered by courts to be limiting someone's access to free speech.
And that's how we got Citizens United.
Yeah, clearly it would be, yeah.
I mean, that's how we got Citizens United. So that's, you know, I don't know how much that would help, you know, the courts or how we do follow elections here. You know, I think it would just muddle the water.
Yeah, just watching elections in other countries, though, where they take a few weeks or a few months, that looks awfully good to me right about now.
Well, I still remember, you know, one of my elections that I first started following was the 1992 presidential election, where Bill Clinton announced in October that he was running for president.
Yeah.
Now, people, you know, these candidates are announcing literally right after the election is over for president who's going to be running and who's setting up to run for president in 4 years.
It's interminable.
I'm pretty sure that Senator Ted Cruz announced during the Republican convention.
I think he did. Okay, 575-646-2212, 575-646-2212. Let us go to our social media desk, where Simon Thompson is standing by. Simon, good afternoon, and let's hear what's going on in social media.
Good afternoon. In Las Cruces, we have a tweeted question. We've seen many Republican candidates struggle with campaign finance reporting. Between that and PAC money, does New Mexico need ethics reform at a state level?
Yes. And I wanted to bring this up earlier when Sandra was talking about Andy Nunez's reporting. She's absolutely right. There is no penalty to be paid in New Mexico when you are late with your report, when you are wrong with your report. I mean, all you have to do is go in and amend it, and that's fine. And the other thing is that nobody is looking at these unless it's your opponent. There is no independent body looking at these and making sure that they're right.
What is the job of the Secretary of State then at this point? You know, are there any penalties? Have we had any penalties of any candidates that had any violations or any super PACs? Who's supervising the super PACs?
Senator, you may be able to answer that better than me, but my recollection, the Farmington Times did a story a couple of years ago on the fact that the Secretary of State has enormous discretion. And more times than not, as long as you correct what was ever wrong, that they will forgive it.
You know, that's right, and they haven't been super diligent in collecting fines, and I think they would say that the law is not specific. And I would note that about a year ago, in early September, they had scheduled hearings on new campaign finance regulations. that they were going to institute for this election. But the week before that public hearing was scheduled, Secretary of State Diana Duran faced a host of criminal charges related to her campaign finance reporting, and they canceled the hearing. They'd rescheduled it for late October. And right before it was supposed to happen, she resigned her office and pleaded guilty and ended up spending the holidays in the Santa Fe County Jail. So you just never got, I think the office wanted to do something to clarify the law, but because of Diana Duran's problems, they weren't able to do it.
Simon Thompson, you had a follow-up?
As a journalist, this has become a massive issue we need to report on. How hard is it to figure out or even speculate the motivations behind big money coming from outside in our races?
Sometimes it seems to me it's clear as day. I mean, when energy companies are donating money, I think we know what they're wanting to get for that. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes you look at the donation and you just scratch your head.
I mean, you can ask these people. I know a couple of years ago I talked to some folks who were among the state's top donors, and they would say that they support one candidate or another because of their position on the issues. Like the oil and gas industry likes Governor Susana Martinez because she's for a looser regulatory structure than Democrats typically are for. Unions like Democratic candidates because they favor higher minimum wages and things like that. And I'd agree, you can often figure that out. Sometimes it's support on the issues. You know, one of the interesting things that I reported about earlier this year and should really go back and look at is the fact that the marijuana industry, the medical marijuana industry, is donating to candidates. And on both sides of the aisle, one of the large companies from Scottsdale, Arizona, that is operating some medical marijuana operations in New Mexico, has given a lot of money to Nate Gentry, the House Majority Leader, a Republican. They've also given money to Democrats. And, people are hoping that this has an impact on their thinking and their voting. So you have a lot of, both Nate Gentry and one of the Democratic leaders, I can't remember which one, have received money from, I think it's Every Town for Gun Safety, an advocate of gun control, because Gentry actually proposed an expansion of background checks in the state of New Mexico last year. Didn't get enacted, but, you do see people out there giving campaign contributions to people that they hope will cooperate with them.
What other industries are contributing? We've got, as you said, medical marijuana or marijuana and the oil industry. What other industries do you see? There was an investigative article that came out recently that looked at the opioid epidemic. It showed that state and federal candidates in New Mexico received more than $337,000 in campaign contributions between 2006 and 2015 for members of Pain Care Forum, which is a loose coalition of drug makers and nonprofit groups that were supported by industry funding.
I know a lot of times it just depends on what the topics are. 2 years ago, one of the biggest donors was the payday lending industry in New Mexico because there were laws that were trying to regulate payday lending.
Sandra, what do you see?
Yeah, that's totally true. It depends on whether an issue is coming up. Like, there was a big, I think, home builders workers' comp PAC that gave a lot of money to lawmakers, mostly Republicans, before this year's legislative session, and there were some changes in workers' comp laws that were passed. And it's true that drug companies give a lot. Healthcare companies and hospitals give a lot of money to lawmakers, and then they also employ lobbyists who work at the state house. I mean, I have seen, sitting in the roundhouse, I have seen lobbyists sorting through their checks and handing them out to,
yeah, I have
to
too.
Incumbents. And people, I mention it to people, and they're like, oh, yeah, that's just how it's done.
But is it the way it should be done? I mean, as we look here, we've got a potential, it's supposed to happen, a special legislative session. Yeah. Right before a big general election. You know, what kind of money is going to be exchanged at the last minute at a session that's supposed to be looking to fix some serious financial holes?
It's a very good question, and I think, Sandra, one of the issues is that we won't know the answer until after the decisions have been made.
That's true. You know, one of the things to think about that special legislative session and how long it's going to last, though, is that once they're in session, they can't take any money.
Okay.
And there's a state law that prohibits them from taking campaign contributions while they're in session, and that goes for their smaller PACs, too, so that are operated by lawmakers. They're not going to be able to take those checks, and it could have a serious fundraising impact on people who are incumbents. So Andrew Oxford at the Santa Fe New Mexican did a story about this, I believe, last weekend, and, you know, it's going to be interesting to see, when is that session going to happen? How long is it going to last? And, you know, how long can they afford to even stay in session when some of them are in some pretty close races out there?
575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. Welcome to Voice of the Public. Today we are following the money, New Mexico campaign fundraising, with Walt Rubel of the Las Cruces Sun News and Sandra Fish of New Mexico in Depth. Join us now, 575-646-2212. You can also join us on social media, where Simon Thompson is standing by, ready to take your comments or questions on social media, Facebook and Twitter. Does all of this outside money cause these politicians to become more polarized?
I think it does. I think it makes it more difficult for them to take a maverick, quote-unquote, stand or a stand away from their party. Because, as Sandra reported in this last story in this that you were talking about, so much of their money comes from their colleagues. So if you are getting, it's a lot harder to tell the guy sitting next to you, listen, I can't go along with you on this, when he's the one funding your campaign.
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about. Because now you're looking at some legislators who have some pretty safe seats,
yep,
asking
right.
another legislator to take a risk on a vote that might not be too comfortable for that legislator.
And what do you get for that money? I mean, that is always the question. What are you expecting in return for this donation that you're giving?
575?
That's a question that's hard to answer, Walt.
It's impossible.
It is difficult to answer. We're trying to answer it here.
When I was in Kansas, I got in a big fight with a state senator who said, you can't buy me for a hamburger. And I said, maybe not, Senator, but I can buy your time for a half hour, and maybe that's all I need.
575-646-2212. 575-646-2212 to join us on Voice of the Public. Let us go to Steve, who's standing by. Steve, welcome to Voice of the Public. Steve?
Yes. Can you hear me?
What's on your mind, sir?
Just to backtrack here on the special sessions, and then just to add to the campaign finance donations during the special session, just to also remind you that not only can the incumbent not receive any kind of funds during the special session, their opponent also cannot receive any kind of funds until that session is over. And I think that's important for your listeners to know.
Thank you very much, sir. Steve, thank you for joining us on Voice of the Public. We've got about 12 minutes to go, so if you want to get in a question, now is the time to do so. 575-646-2212. Or follow us on social media and ask your questions and make your comments with Simon Thompson. I'm going to ask this question knowing that I'm going to open up a can of worms here. And either to Sandra or to you, Walt, but are there any winners in all of this spending?
Well, certainly, in my opinion, yes. I mean, the example I gave you of the payday lending, they won. They tried to stop legislation, and they were successful. Now, I would argue that the citizens of New Mexico, especially the poorer citizens of New Mexico, lost in that deal. But clearly, if there are winners and losers, then yeah, they got what they wanted.
I think there's that policy winners and losers, and then there are also the consultants who are making money from this. You know, there are some big Democratic firms in Albuquerque, and Jay McCleskey's McCleskey Media Strategies in Albuquerque on the Republican side. There are printing operations that make a lot of money during the campaigns. Radio stations, if you know that's where people advertise, that's certainly the way people communicate up in the Navajo Nation around in around Shiprock and that northwest part of the state where there's a pretty serious house race going on up there. You know, there are people who are financially benefiting from this in terms of the actual campaign spending, but I'm not sure that the voters are benefiting. And you know, if voters aren't paying a lot of attention to who the message came from and whether or not it's accurate, that's a problem.
Simon Thompson is standing by our social media desk. Simon, welcome to Voice of the Public.
Thank you. We have a question tweeted from Las Cruces. In New Mexico, legislators aren't paid. Does that make PAC money potentially more spurious than in other places?
Yeah, I am glad somebody brought that up because I think that gets to the heart of the whole thing. And not only PAC money, but it gives the consultants that Sandra was talking about an oversized influence because they don't have staff. They don't have, most of them are working their own jobs. And so they rely on the lobbyists. They rely on those people to tell them, to give them the information that they're going to use to make their votes.
What do you think, Sandra?
You know, I'd also argue, though, that probably New Mexico really needs to strengthen its campaign finance laws and somehow get a hold on how campaigns are accounting for their money. You know, candidates can actually be the treasurers for their own campaigns, and it doesn't appear that there's much auditing or oversight. You look at the charges against Diana Duran. It appears that she was just taking campaign checks, depositing them into her own account, or writing them to other people and signing them and putting them in her own account and using it to fund her sad gambling problem. And then you look at the Attorney General's office right now is investigating former State Senator Phil Griego. And I know a year ago I was looking into candidates who still have accounts open and called him up and said, you've got a lot of money in your account. And he said, well, you know, yeah, and if I just keep it, I'll have to pay taxes on it. And I thought, you can't keep it. But it looks like he, you know, there's a story in the Santa Fe New Mexican today that it looks like he was actually not even reporting properly what he was spending from that account and from his PAC. And so I think that there's a lot of problems with the law where people feel like, well, I'm not getting paid, so I'll just pay myself, or they're paying their relatives to work for them. They're paying for car repairs, which in some instances might, if you're driving a large distance. But, you know, the laws need to be tightened up a lot more.
Simon, you had a follow-up?
Yeah, so looking at the way that money has been donated so far, what are the big issues this election for the big donors?
Sandra?
You know, I think for the oil and gas companies, it's keeping the House Republican and maybe turning the Senate to Republican to ensure that there's a favorable situation to their industry in this state. You look at the unions are who donates primarily to Democrats. They're the ones, teachers unions, public employee unions, and to a lesser extent, unions that are working in private businesses are donating to Democrats. They're trying to fight back against right to work laws, therefore higher minimum wage and some other things that Democrats support. So those seem to be the big things. You know, you've got these smaller industries donating like the medical marijuana industry, which would really like to see less regulation or less restrictive regulations there. So,
Walt, let me ask you this. In terms of policies, you know, you have a lot of rules and regulations that, you know, mediums like the newspaper, radio stations, that they have to follow. What are some of the policies that the Las Cruces Sun News has in place regarding advertising in the paper?
You mean political advertising?
Political advertising.
You know, I'm not certain that that I know the answer to that question. I know that in the past we have rejected advertising because we didn't feel that it was fair and accurate and truthful. But in terms of a list of policies, that I'm not certain that we have anything like that.
Sandra, do you see any of these issues? You know, what things should voters be looking for when they see or hear some of these political advertising? Let's talk about your website where you have some of these direct mail pieces and some television advertising. Talk about that and how people can get access to that.
So our Follow the Message site is at ftm.nmindepth.com. And we've got a form, Share Your Message, where people can submit pictures of flyers or an audio recording of a radio ad. And we'll take those messages and add information about where somebody's funding came from. We'll add any reports we see out in the media that fact check or write about that particular TV ad or mail flyer that's been sent out. And then you can look at those messages and read about them and find out who sent it and where did their money come from, and what is the media saying and what are other people saying about that message. So we'd really love more submissions at ftm.nmindepth.com, because we know you've got seven races in your listener area that are going to be crucial to who controls the House and the Senate.
Can you talk about any specific direct mail pieces or television commercials that you have seen recently that have caught your attention?
You know, recently I've seen a couple of, I've mentioned the Progress Now TV ads, and then this week you see Advance New Mexico Now, which often is more well known for sending out negative mailers, but they're sending out some positive flyers in races like Walt mentioned Senate Majority Leader Michael Sanchez, and Susana Martinez's people would really like to take Sanchez out of there, and they've got a guy running, Gregory Baca, and they've got a mail piece out. He's somebody who graduated from Balin High School and then served in the Navy, and he's a Navy veteran, so they've got this really far, you know, positive mailer that they've sent out, and we talked about that, and that Advance is doing this. But at the same time, Progress Now New Mexico, which advocates progressives, i.e. Democrats, you know, they actually looked into Baca's residence, and he didn't register to vote in Valencia County until last year sometime, and he had been living and voting in Albuquerque for 11 years. So, you know, they're taking up whether or not he's a lifelong resident of Balin. He certainly grew up there and went to high school there and appears to have moved back there. But so we've got a lot of information on our site and links to, you know, various news stories and things like that that you can click through and look at. And you can look at the flyers that are being mailed out.
Okay, thank you, Sandra. Now, Walt, let me ask you a question. From where you sit, you've got a very unique position amongst us all where you get to meet with these candidates and they come in and they talk to you. What are some of the challenges that you face in giving out the endorsement to some of these candidates where you know so much of their history and you know where some of that money is coming from?
Well, the way we do it is a little bit different than any other paper I've ever worked at. We bring both candidates in at the same time. We have 1 hour where it's four of us from the newspaper, the three members of the editorial board, and one reporter, and the two candidates. And we cover as many topics as we can. And the reason I like doing it that way is if candidate A says something about candidate B has the opportunity immediately to respond. And the challenge for us is not treating it exactly like a job interview, because, you know, we kind of come away thinking, well, this person did better in this interview, but we can't look at just that. We also have to look at, okay, is there an incumbent here? If so, what is their record? What is the record of the other person? We try to look at all of the qualifications.
Thank you, Walt Rubel of the Las Cruces Sun News, for joining us on today's Voice of the Public. You've been listening to Follow the Money, New Mexico campaign fundraising on Voice of the Public with Walt Rubel of the Las Cruces Sun News. And Sandra Fish, thank you very much for joining us on from New Mexico in Depth.
Great to be here. Thanks so much.
Okay. Thank you for joining us. Samantha Sonner worked the phones today. Simon Thompson was at our social media desk. Anthony Moreno was our studio producer. Jake Lockwood was our technical director. Mark Johnson provided technical assistance. And Fred Martino is our director of content. I'm your host and producer, Edmundo Resendez. If you have any suggestions for future Voice of the Public shows, email us at feedback@nmsu.edu. Again, feedback@nmsu.edu.